All right. Welcome, everybody, to Watch This. Before I introduce myself and the co-hosts here, I want to kind of go around the room and be like, what song is this? Alex, what song
is this? I have no idea. It looks very familiar. I can see, like, barely see the cover from here.
I was trying not to, actually. I didn't want you guys to see that. Stephanie, should I even bother?
No.
Wait, is this Joy Division?
Close. Very close. It is the band that rose from the ashes of Joy Division. It's New Order.
New Order, okay.
Why am I playing a New Order song?
I'm not sure, Paul. Why don't you tell us?
This is the opening track from their compilations album from 1987 called...
The Substance?
Substance.
Oh.
Nice touch. I like
it. I'm so creative. Just wait until we get to how we pronounce the director's name. So, I am Paul Klein. Sitting across from me are, from left to right...
Alex Bello.
And...
Stephanie Italian Explosion.
Wow. I love that you adopted the name.
Yeah.
Today, we are going to be talking about The Substance. We have somebody in this room has seen it twice. The other two people, the males in the room, horrible.
What?
The males in the room.
You should give a disclaimer that this is a joke before we, in case we lean into the...
The sexist... Yeah. What if I actually am sexist? What if I don't know it?
If you are and you have a deep-seated sexism in you that you just can't shake, saying it's a joke would be a great way to cover it up.
You've
been saying it's a joke for a while. So
I believe it is a joke, but I'm beginning to worry because I lean into it so much. And especially with Stephanie around, like I keep making these jokes. I don't know why. Usually like at night when I go home, I'm like, that was kind of fucked up.
I think it's because I don't stop you. Yeah. Like, Soul is like, that's not right.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, yeah.
Right. She's like, he's right.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. Yeah. But I think there still needs to be self-reflection and you have to kind of worry. Like, just make sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just make sure. So the two males in the room have seen a movie once. We saw it at the beginning of the week. And we've all three have been dying to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Because of work schedules and things like that, we can only record today on Friday. And so we just want to get this going. So let's talk about what the movie is, who directed it, just because I want to say her name. So The Substance is a horror movie, if you guys have not heard, if you live under a rock, because it has been nominated for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And the odd thing being that it is a body horror, which doesn't, I would probably say this is the first body horror that has been nominated for Best Picture or gotten any kind of major awards recognition. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's, I think you could say that for sure.
Think
with
so.
Some safety and not have to worry.
Yeah, they ignore Cronenberg, but you know.
Yeah.
But this one got it. That's fine. The movie is directed by.
Should we all say it together?
Let's try it. Yeah. Right. On one, so starting from three. So three, two, one.
Corey Farjah. I led you astray. I told you it was Farjah, and then I figured out before we came in the room that it's Farjah.
No one told me.
How did you figure out it's Farjah? Who told you?
Paul Klein.
That's right. Thank you very much. The thing is, okay, so whenever I read her name, I was originally reading it Fargot, which to me sounds like Fog Hat.
That's what you made me.
That's why I made you do that.
Guys, Paul made me add that sound effect to the board, which took me 5 minutes. And I wasn't too inconvenienced by it, but knowing that that's why he wanted me to do it, I'm kind of pissed.
What situation could you imagine where it actually would have been worth it?
I had no idea.
There was no situation where that could have been worth it. So, Carolee Farjah, and she wrote and directed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Demi Moore. And should we do all three again?
Yeah, let's do it.
On three, starting down. On one, starting from three. Three, two, one. Margaret Qualley.
Hey. Okay, we got that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
We're getting better.
Who, according to the... to somebody in a room is gorgeous. And it was not the males who said it, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, well, I wasn't around when that
you
was
weren't
said, but
there.
I agree.
She is gorgeous. But I just, it would be a lie if I said I felt that way, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I recognize it, but I'm not like, and it works in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a Demi Moore type, I guess.
Okay.
Well, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To each their own.
Yeah.
The olds like the olds and the youngs like the youngs. That's just how it goes.
I also think for as much work as she put into for herself for this movie, she deserves to be called super gorgeous. I'm a girl's girl. I see what
Margaret Qualley, all the work she put into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because at least from what Alex told me, she did like a pretty hefty regimen.
Yeah, to like get in shape.
Oh, to look perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
I will give her the same recognition that male actors get when they do superhero movies.
And get jacked.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And get jacked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all actors deserve the accolades for that.
Mm-hmm.
Accolade or accolade?
Accolade, for sure.
Thank you for not correcting me. Saul would have done it. I would have been really angry.
Yeah.
So, the movie. You know what? The person who brought this up to us, I mean, don't get me wrong. I heard about this movie. I wanted to see it. But I really think the person who really kind of got this train going is sitting across from me is the Italian Explosion. Ooh, t-shirt.
Nice.
The Italian Explosion.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us what the movie is about? And I hope you use the same wording that you used back in December when we were doing the mock podcast for the symposium. I'm going to see if you say it. I'll bring it up if you do.
Oh, okay. I do not remember. So basically, the movie is about this woman who uses the substance, which is like this green liquid, to create another version of herself that is considered to be younger and more beautiful. And so these two women have to kind of stay within this balance of surviving.
Coexisting.
And they have to, yes, coexist. And they have to switch back and forth every 7 days of life. And then, you know, and then it all kind of goes downhill from there, because of course.
What happens if they do not balance the 7 days?
So Margaret Qualley. Margaret Quaker. Qualley. She.
I have no sound effect for that. So.
We do. We have. Wah, wah.
Let me find it. Hold on. Okay. Please be careful. Be careful. Please be patient.
Trumpet.
Trombone. Right? Trombone.
Yeah. Good one. Okay.
Chicks, am I right? Okay.
Chicks. Chicks, am I right?
So first. If they do not switch back within 7 days, she steals more, I guess, life force or like a stabilizer fluid from Demi Moore than she should.
Like from her spine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from her spine, which causes Demi Moore to deteriorate very dramatically. Quickly and dramatically.
Yes.
Into like a corpse-ish old woman appearance.
The language I was looking for is when you described it back then. You said if they don't coexist, they both expire.
Yeah, that was good. That's good. Actually.
I was like, and I regret not having this line because I wanted to be like, are they yogurt? So I have it here now. I can say no.
That was good.
Oh man.
And yogurt can be like, okay, after watching this movie, like I had breakfast, as I think I mentioned quickly, and it was like eggs and sausage and yogurt. The movie actually begins with a very cool opening of just wordlessly and quickly explaining what the substance does.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sunny side up egg.
Yeah.
A hand comes into the shot, injects the substance into it, and it just kind of quietly opens up and another sunny side egg comes out of it.
Yeah, another yolk.
And I was like expecting like some like splatter. It's like it'll blow up and hit the camera. And it was just like, no, we're normal.
Yeah.
The movie kind of hides its. No, it doesn't. It doesn't hide anything. It's. So a lot has been made about how revolting the movie is. And we did mention its body horror. It is a heavy R-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say even before any of the body horror actually begins, it's pretty disgusting already. There's something about this movie, the way Caroline Foghat... I'm not here yet. Take it easy. The way she shoots the movie is like, it's kind of like the whole world is kind of gross.
Yes.
Already. The trivia at IMDb described it as an infamous scene. I feel there's so many infamous scenes in this movie that I can't imagine this would be it. But the part where the Hollywood exec, right?
Harvey.
Oh, Harvey.
Which, can I guess what you're going to talk about? Because I think I know what it is.
The shrimp scene?
Yes.
Yeah. So it is infamous because we all kind of know it. Yeah. They're at a restaurant. He's eating shrimp and it's completely disgusting. There's like all these like close-ups of his mouth and masticating sounds and like half-eaten shrimp. And the movie has like most of its horror comes from the sound effects because like everybody like whenever there's like anything that a human being does in this movie has like, you know, like a sound effect in the background. And it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
You were going to say something else?
I was going to say, I'm just going to get this out there right now. It's so obviously clear that the Harvey name is an ode to Harvey Weinstein.
Of course,
you can't make it any clearer, and I respect it. I respect that they went all in and made it obvious.
Let's put it this way: if you don't respect that, you're not going to like the movie because there's nothing really subtle about the movie.
Nothing at all.
And that's okay because that's what she's going for. It's not like she's pretending to be like, oh, I'm going to hide something in here. So the Harvey thing kind of fits in there quite nicely, actually. It's about as obvious as everything else in the movie, but I appreciate that. And I appreciate how it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so like, if you think it's gross at the beginning, well, let's put it this way. So, we talked about this quickly. This is why we shouldn't talk about anything before. So there's gonna be like these glazed looks here in the studio. I mentioned, after I saw the movie, I texted Alex and I said, you may think you're prepared for the substance, but you're not prepared.
Yeah.
Which some people might read as like, oh my gosh, you don't watch horror. You're not used to it, blah, blah, blah. Oh no, I watch a lot of horror. I watch a lot of R-rated movies. And yeah, for a good hour and a half of the 2-hour and 20-minute movie, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is gory that... if people who are not used to it would probably be like, ew, gross. But I'm like, this is nothing that we haven't seen before. Like, we can handle this. I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then the finale came up. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping. I'm not lying. I had my fingers crossed. Like, as I was watching, I was like, please just get worse and just get grosser and grosser. And I kind of like when they said that she's going to do like a New Year's Eve show, I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to have like a huge platform to do this and something disgusting is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And let's just say... the movie does not disappoint, and it goes absolutely insane by the end, especially by like Hollywood standards, in a sense of like a movie that's released in theaters that isn't released as like a non-R, you know, like as a non-rated movie, as an unrated movie. It goes out there. And then I followed up, and then I found out Alex was actually watching the movie already. And I said, well, in 2 hours, I expect you to text me back and tell me, bro, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And like clockwork, 2 hours later, I look at my phone. There's a text from Alex. Bro, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
I actually copied exactly the way that you wrote it. I hit copy and paste on your message. And then I took out the part that you put before it. And I just left that and took out the quotes.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So... yeah, the movie is it lives up to its reputation, and I love it for that, to be perfectly honest. But before we get to that, the movie made us wait before we got there. Mm-hmm. It built up to it somewhat. It builds up to it. So let us build up to it.
Yeah.
I actually had a question.
Yes.
Since you mentioned the egg yolk at the beginning of the movie, I wanted to ask if you guys noticed all of the egg motifs hidden within the movie.
I did not.
You did not?
No.
Oh my God.
Tell me, what else is there?
So, apart from that scene, when she actually first gets the activator, she's in that big white room, and she's always wearing that bright yellow coat.
Right.
So she looks like the yolk of an egg.
That's fantastic.
Throughout the movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Because she only wears that bright yellow coat.
She does.
Every time she goes out.
Yeah. It's also like a sickly yellow, which kind of goes with the motif of the film.
But every time she's in like a room wearing that coat, it's always like a bright white room.
Yes, there's a lot of white rooms, but I think she is eating scrambled eggs when she, like, at some point in early in the movie when she's, like, either thinking about it or has done her first shot that she's eating scrambled eggs. So, what else was there?
So the eggs represent where the movie is going. So when she first starts to become resentful of her younger part, she starts making scrambled eggs to scramble the yolks together and kind of destroy stuff. And then she finally, like... begins to like lose her mind and go crazy. Mm-hmm. There's this scene where she just starts throwing eggs at the window.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the poster? No. No, because it's at the billboard that's always looking at her of Margaret Qualley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One quick. Oh, do you have more?
I think that's all I can remember.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It
was like throughout the movie, it kept like getting worse and worse and worse, the treatment of the eggs.
Of the eggs. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. You know, I read IMDb's trivia, which I've realized now like is even less trustworthy than Wikipedia. Because Wikipedia actually has to put sources or will note if they don't put a source. And IMDb, any asshole can put something on there. Yeah. So I went through all the trivia and like nobody mentioned the egg thing.
I didn't notice that either.
That's really cool.
Good catch, yeah.
Good catch. Yeah. It's like catching an egg. We'll try.
Yeah. Give him the womp.
Yeah, I got it. It's two pages over. Actually, I think that was actually more of a. Yeah. There were crickets. Yeah. There were little crickets.
Yeah.
Literal crickets. I was going to say something. Okay, so there's eggs. Go ahead, Alex.
I think you were going to take us down the route of working our way up the same way that the movie does.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what the next step in that is, actually. So I'm still caught on the egg thing. Do we want to go through the story? Is that necessary? I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think it's necessary.
There's not that much story.
There is not much story.
There's not much dialogue in this movie. There's not like a lot of people talking to each other. It's mostly people by themselves.
Yeah, which is not a very Oscar thing. You know, usually movies that get nominated for Best Picture have a lot of heavy dialogue, usually dramatic movies, you know, that have some a lot to say. And even though this, you know what? I'm not going to go there yet. Can we get like everybody's rating first?
Okay.
On the movie.
Okay.
Out of five. What did you guys give it?
Out of five. I don't like out of five.
Do whichever rating you like. Because I haven't spoken yet much in this podcast, but I have some things to say.
Yeah, you have been oddly quiet.
I've been reserving my thoughts for a more important time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stephanie, out of what? Out of five?
Out of whatever.
I hate five.
Let's do 10 Pauls. That's our rating thing.
Can we do 4 Pauls?
Okay.
4 Pauls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of 4?
No, just from 1 to 4, because like that's how I've been ranking things. Like when I critique, like okay. I do out of 4 stars, that's what I'm used to.
Oh, okay.
5 is too much and 10 is oh my gosh.
Okay, I give it 4 Pauls.
Excellent.
I love it.
Alejandro?
2 Pauls.
Oh wow. Oh, okay. Oh wow. I'm a little shocked by
2.5. 2.5.
Okay.
Pauls.
I would give it 3 Pauls, and then I give the last half hour 3.5 Pauls.
Okay. Okay, that's why I was being quiet, because I don't want to make any enemies.
Especially the female in the room.
Come on.
You guys just...
Wow, come on, Paul.
You guys just didn't understand it.
No.
Oh, no!
And this is where...
No, you did it.
And
she promised she was going to do it, and she did it.
And this is why I didn't...
I gave it 3 stars, 3 Pauls, thank you.
You didn't even catch the egg motifs.
We didn't
I
catch
can't
it.
Imagine the other stuff that you guys didn't catch in the
movie.
No, I don't like weaponizing these things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You saw it twice. You saw it twice. And you probably read up on it. And so, yeah, I mean, we were, you know... You know,
I will give you guys the benefit of the doubt. I will hear
your case. I like the movie.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I enjoyed the movie, but I need to make my case. That's why I hadn't talked yet, because I want to
make your case. I think this is the target.
I will hear you out.
Great movie. I think it's an amazing movie that overstays its welcome. I think
that's
it
fair.
Goes on too long.
It does.
But one thing I respect about the movie, and it's what made me enjoy it, is that it just punches you in the gut. It really punches you in the gut. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hold back.
Yep.
And I respect that because I don't think it happens enough. However, although I loved the final, you know, the third act, that final act, which is where I think the movie really starts to catch steam.
It does.
I think that in that final act, the movie starts to lose its own message and its own theme amongst its grotesqueries and gore.
Interesting. In what way?
In the sense that building up to the movie, I'm kind of, you know, I'm getting the idea. They're in this locked in this sort of battle where they're both trying to, you know, fight for more time alive to try to keep their life. And, you know, you get the themes that beauty in this world is almost like currency. You know, she's struggling with her own appearance. But when we get to that end of the movie where they're both alive after the termination sequence, it sort of becomes like a 1v1. And I understand what they were trying to do, but when it starts to get into that, which I don't want to spoil anything, when it starts to get to that final...
We're going
to
spoil everything.
True.
Fine.
When she finally arrives on that set, I completely forget what you're trying to tell me, what the message that you're trying to give me, and I'm just so lost in all the violence and blood.
Viscera?
Yeah, and all the viscera. Oh. And so I started, by that point, by the time the movie ended, that's why I texted you, you know, what the fuck. I had to look back and sit with the movie for a little while to actually remember and recall what the movie's trying to tell me, rather than just... all the, you know, the note that it left me on with all the gore and violence. Not violence, but, you know.
It's violence.
Yeah, violence, yeah. But I'm just going to put that, I just wanted to put that out there.
Stephanie, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
I think it's valid.
Okay.
It's understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because the perspective I had of the movie, I'll give my womanly opinion.
No, do it. Yeah.
Do it. Yeah, go for it.
Is that the entire movie, it was about... Because the whole movie is about that they're one person.
Right, which they keep reminding them.
Yeah.
As they keep saying,
you are one.
Yeah. They keep using pronouns for each other, like she and her.
Yeah.
And the voice on the phone is always like, there is only, remember.
There is only one. Yeah.
So as I'm watching this movie, I'm also trying to remember that they're the same person.
Okay.
Yeah. So throughout the entire movie, they're just slowly becoming more and more resentful of the other parts of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So like the younger one is resentful that the older one doesn't take care of herself, mm-hmm. or, you know, go out or have fun or just sits on the couch and eats the whole time.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
she thinks it's disgusting and loses respect for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the older one loses respect for the younger one because she's just partying and being irresponsible
mm-hmm.
and not caring.
Yeah.
So it's like this fight within yourself of not liking a part of yourself.
Right.
So then when she finally, you know, destroys that side of herself,
right.
she herself begins to deteriorate because they can't exist without each other.
Right.
So by her killing that part of herself, she's killing herself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, this whole movie, it's like this struggle of, like, body dysmorphia and self-esteem
mm-hmm.
and, like, learning that, like, you have to take care of all the parts of yourself and accept all the parts of yourself or else you're going to kill yourself.
Okay.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah.
And then I sort of feel like it's sort of like the grand guignol, like, finale is just sort of like the cherry on top. Like, all that has been said, and now it's like, okay, now let's spend half an hour watching her explode and deteriorate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There were two things I wanted to. When did you guys realize it was a comedy?
Pretty early on.
Yeah.
I thought I was laughing in the scene where the very early scene where she enters the men's bathroom and he comes in after her, and it's like this weirdly framed shot where you're like in the urinal and he comes with his face right to the camera, peeing on you. And he's talking on the phone. I was like, that's pretty funny. And then like little things like that throughout where I was like grossed out, but I was also like, oh, this is pretty ridiculous and like funny, especially Harvey's character, Dennis Quaid's character.
Mm.
Every time he was walking around with like his goons, it was so disgusting, but I just couldn't help but laugh. And I was just so stupid. Like, this guy's an idiot.
Agreed, but Stephanie, let's go with you. When did you do you feel it's not a comedy?
I didn't feel it was a comedy as much.
Okay,
I think I took it too seriously because I was trying to find like all of the little things about it.
So, the
like,
Easter
even,
eggs,
even what you were talking about, like that part, I actually thought it was interesting because they made him pee like an old man.
Oh yeah, yeah, because it takes like a while for it to start.
So it was like starting and then stopping, and then starting and then stopping.
I thought that was funny.
But
that was
during that whole conversation, he was complaining about like needing like a younger girl, and like how like awful like women are when they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
there he is like in front of you.
Disgusting.
With like his like face all droopy, like peeing
and,
like an old man.
Yeah.
So it was like it was funny, but at the same time, like in every joke, they were saying something so important.
I mean, just because it's a comedy doesn't mean it's not saying anything. You know what I mean?
So
like it's
I would say it's like it's the type of comedy. Like it's so different from Hundreds of Beavers comedy.
Oh, 100%.
So it's like rather than like
100% Hundreds of Beavers.
Yeah.
I also made an Easter egg comment. I said there's an Easter you were looking for the Easter eggs and nobody picked up on the eggs. Continue.
He's airing out his grievances.
Like, I think that there are parts that are comedic about it, but I don't think I would say it's a comedy. Is that wrong?
It's your opinion. It's never wrong. So my defense of that would be that she goes, first of all, so you mentioned when the young version of her and the old version of her meet, and it leads to this, like, 10-minute fight, which has the most ridiculous, like, you know, she kicks her and there's a woman in old age makeup flying across the room and like breaking into a fireplace. It's so over the top. It's almost like Evil Dead. Like, and that's what I mean by kind of like Evil Dead comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the big giveaway for me was, of course, the finale. Like when you meet Elizabeth, so Demi Moore's character, you get a big title card that says Elizabeth. When you meet Sue, as a big title card says to Sue, Stephanie knows what's happening.
Yeah.
When she injects the substance back into herself at the end and the whole gory stuff happens, a title card comes up that says Monstro Elizasu.
Yeah, Monstro Elizasu.
Which, and like in big neon yellow, like the substance. Like, that's a joke.
Yeah.
And then also when she goes in front of the audience and starts falling apart, how the one woman like from a 1950s you know, like sci-fi movie gets up like, she's a monster.
And then just yells, ah!
Okay, yeah, I could see it.
And it took the monstrous Elizasu to cough up a boob for people to actually start freaking out. Like, nobody freaked out when she first came out on stage.
This has to be the only movie, and will be the only movie nominated for Best Picture that has a monster throwing up a boob.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was actually wondering, should I say throwing up a breast, throwing up a tit? And you went with boob. You kind of went like in the middle.
Yeah.
Like the the non... vulgar,
like
the cutesy version of it, you know? Yeah. I don't even know if she throws it up. It's just sort of like an orifice opens and it flies. Yeah. it's so
gross.
I made the joke when I watched it for the second time to my boyfriend that if he thought after they shot the scene, like, they started messing with it, because it kind of looked like one of those old timey, like,
that's what I would do,
like weapons. Yeah. I could just imagine them.
I would spin it over my head.
Yeah, like using it to hit people.
Yeah, and then every time you hit them, you go boob attack. You've been titted. I don't know.
Oh God,
I'm working on it. Yeah. I'm workshopping it.
Yeah.
But that's when I really started to enjoy the movie, because I was like, this is hilarious, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And eventually, like her arm breaks off, and just like gallons of blood. You know, like I was telling Alex, I saw a Hong Kong film from the 80s called The Story of Ricky, which had, at the time, I things have changed now because a lot of things are CG, but at the time in the 80s, it was like in the record books for using the most fake blood in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't think this movie beats The Story of Ricky. Nothing can, because it's like 2.5 hours of just blood, and this is the last half hour. But it comes pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
And just the fact that she takes like a whole audience of extras and is just hosing them down with fake
like
blood.
Like a sprinkler, just going
not
around.
Not even
there,
like a fire hose.
Yeah, like a fire hose.
And apparently the director, Caroline Foghat.
You just completely butchered it this time. Take it easy.
She was the one operating the hose with all the blood coming out of it. And
really?
She was just spraying everybody. And there was a quote from her from an interview where I should really cite a source here, where she was actually saying that, like, she was sort of thinking of the audience as being what we are, like what humanity is, and the way that's sort of like the reason that, like, Demi Moore's character and why women have these horrible self-perception and hatred for themselves is because of how we all treat each other and how we are, like, you're disgusting. Kind of, and again, like, when that woman stands up, again, it works on two levels, because it's hilarious, right? But at the same time, it's also like, that is something that we would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of took all of her aggression out on that audience and was like, you guys are the culprits. And she's like, I am going to cover you guys in blood, including Dennis Quaid, who was in there getting covered in blood. And that's something that you sort of notice throughout the whole movie, that there's a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
there's a lot of anger. And I was really hoping to have seen Caroline Foghat's first movie. We're at the stage now where it's not funny anymore, but I'm just going to keep doing it, because it will come back to being funny. Yes.
Yeah, if you just do it for long enough, maybe it'll be funny.
It'll come back to being funny.
I will say, though, I would have given anything to be in that audience and get sprayed with blood.
Well, you're the one. That's good. Or at least from the three people in this room. Yeah. I do not. I thought you were going to say, like
so much fun.
No.
I think it did.
No. You are a very morbid person.
There were a couple people in the audience that were like trying not to laugh.
I mean, it's,
while it was happening.
Yeah.
Because imagine how cool that would be to be in the audience and like know that it's going to happen. And you're just sitting there like waiting to just get obliterated by fake blood.
I went to film school, and when we were making student films, we would all make the most violent student films. And my friend's student film, my friend who has a crush on Bam Bam. he did a. Long story short, I shoot a person in the face, in the head, and like the brains and stuff are supposed to hit me. And he went in the kitchen and got spaghetti and grapes and tomato sauce and everything, and he put it in a bowl. And then I had to stand there with the gun out, pointing at the camera. And then he just went
exploded,
splat, and like threw all the stuff in my face. And actually, if you watch it, like he kept I started laughing like the extras in that movie. But I also had a headache afterwards. I felt gross and disgusting and sick for the rest of the day. So after having gone through like you know, just like 50% of what that audience must have gone through, for me, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
I would personally.
I have a similar
I think you would
story,
be laughing and having a good time. Alex, what's your similar story?
My buddy Evan, shout out Evan, he wants to be like a filmmaker. And in high school, we used to like make short films and stuff. And I was always at the one acting in his short films. And there was one time he wanted to make like this grindhouse sort of like very like bloody, nasty thing. And we had real fake blood and like a huge
pause.
Yeah.
Your sentence.
Real fake blood.
We have real fake blood.
Yeah. Like,
flake blood.
Like actual like gallons of fake blood. Like, and it was like
the thick. Real and fake right next to each other. Yeah. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. Real fake blood. I like that. And then we had like a fake heart and fake roaches. And I was like just covered in fake blood that day. Yes. And it took me like my hands were like red for days.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't wash that shit out.
It doesn't wash out.
No.
So yeah, I don't know.
I think we should do an experiment now where
I don't like this idea
where we make a film and you guys just dump gallons of fake blood on me.
Yeah.
So I can experience what it's like.
You won't have to dye your hair anymore. You'll be fine for
About a year.
Yeah. I would be perfectly fine with doing that experiment.
I thought you were gonna say like that you wish you'd like been in the audience at Cannes, you know, when they premiered the film and like, you know, when they all see that, you know, in this big fancy theater and then you see like this, you know, that finale. And then I love the fact that it just keeps going after that. So like, you know, so they cut her head off, blood shoots everywhere, another head pops out. And then and I love the fact that Demi Moore, a famous actress who has had a long, distinguished-ish career, spends the finale of the movie sticking out of her back, going, looking back and forward. And then, but then the payoff that when Monstro Eliza Sue falls down and just completely splatters and you think the movie is over, the head of Demi Moore comes crawling out and then it ends on the walk on her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I just loved that. I maybe it was just that it's true. When I was watching it, I was like, this isn't like, I like it. It's fine. Like I didn't think it was bad, but just that last half hour to 45 minutes just really put it over the top for me where I was like, yeah, this is great. And really, I think everything that she was trying to do kind of culminated and came out, I think for me, perfectly in that moment.
That especially is where like I said earlier, it started to lose me a little bit towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
2 hours 20 is a little too much for that one.
And it reminded me a lot, especially the end with the big fight and everything, reminded me a lot of a movie that I talk about all the time, and I'm gonna talk about it again. You guys must be sick and tired of hearing it, and it's Surf's the Neon Up. Demon. Surf's Up. The Neon Demon. The Neon Demon by Nicholas Winding Refn ends with a very similar sort of over the top, bloody, gory kind of fight. But that movie does, I think, a better job of maintaining the theme towards the end throughout the bloody fight.
Okay.
Whereas this, but I can't compare it to that one too much because that one is less of a body horror than this one. Also, the most disgusting thing in the entire movie for me is when she goes to push the button on the elevator and her fingernail falls off. And it's just so disgusting. One of my biggest fears is a fingernail breaking off. I don't know why. I get really queasy about that stuff.
My big toenail ripped off.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, I was just wearing socks and I was pulling the sofa out and it just went and like it just went too fast and too far and it hit the nail and just went.
Is it still gone?
Want to see?
No.
Kind of.
Ew.
So curious.
No, it grew back.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, because and it's funny too, because I was so grossed out by it that I just kind of like, you know, just carefully put my foot in the sock, you know, and it started like, it was it was there and it was hanging on by like a flap, but like a little edge of it. And then like, but then, you know, like all the themes of death and rebirth, right? Like one time I was like, oh, there's a new nail growing from behind it, and it pushed it out, and now it's back.
I love how we can see how morbid I actually am, because Alex is over here like gagging, and I'm like, "Can I see?"
Yeah,
dude, not much.
I've never seen so much fire in your eyes.
Yeah, blood doesn't get me that much, but like even like the scene where she was stitching up her back didn't get me.
No, not at all.
Because it looked so rubbery. It looked like fake skin.
It's a good effect.
Yeah,
like the people did a really marvelous job. But there's something in my head that's like, yeah, I know that's not real. Yeah. Like I don't, you know what I mean? Like I just. I don't think you can make it any realer than that.
And I
like that. Like I'm like, it's fine. Yeah. I don't want more reality from it. But yeah, it just kind of, the idea of it is kind of gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't too thrown for a loop. Yeah.
When her teeth fell out, killed me, especially because like the nightmares that like I've heard people have where like just their teeth like fall out and then she just started like taking them out. And I was watching, I was like, why would you take more? I'll just shove it back in.
When she smiled and it was all bloody.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah. Though.
Again. Oh my gosh. It was still funny though.
No, that was like a good effect though, because like I was watching, I was like, it was almost like I could like taste the blood in my mouth.
Yeah.
When I was watching it, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, but yeah, the fingernail and the food was what got me the most in the entire movie, more than anything.
What was it they were mentioning that fingernail was? Oh yeah, because a lot of the movie is kind of like analogous to David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Yeah.
And like the way that he falls apart is mirrored in this movie. So like, you know, his ear comes off and then his fingernail comes off also. So
can we start talking about the food in the movie?
Oh yeah. Yeah, please. Yeah. I mean, we mentioned the shrimp already and like the half coagulated butter that he was putting it into. Oh, yeah. What else?
The huge scene where she just makes all of the French cuisine.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And like she literally looked like a witch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It. Yeah.
And then there was the one scene that got me, which I think is where like the body dysmorphia aspect of the movie really like kicked in, was when she had like that like piece of chicken.
Oh yeah, like, it just came out of her
Her skin.
But that was a dream.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe so. Actually, like, that's open for interpretation. Yeah. I was a little disappointed that it was a dream, but I thought that was too like, not, it's weird to say over the top, but like it didn't fit into the rules of what they had established, because you can't like I know you can't also inject a substance and another person comes out of you.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's such over the top dream imagery where like it's one thing where we can say your fingernail comes off, your teeth come out, but another chicken leg to come out and then she grabs into her navel and pulls it out.
I
took that as being a dream.
It was, but I kind of realized after the second time watching it that those dreams were like every time they like were you know knocked out or unconscious for the 7 days, when they would wake up, those like intense dreams that they would have is like their personal reactions to what the other person did for the 7 days.
Yeah, because the chicken dream comes after she does that gross meal and she's overeating and doing all kinds of stuff.
And then there was the one, which that's when I kind of figured out that all this stuff had been dreams, is when she's with the guy and he unzips the back of her like black sort of leather
and then like all the stuff comes out, like
guts pour out.
Yeah, which wouldn't have made sense. Yeah. Like that wasn't happening yet. But it does also pre-say, you know, like it basically tells us what's gonna happen at the end.
Yeah.
That's gonna happen for real. What was the saddest scene in the movie?
Saddest scene in the movie? Oh, you know who I felt bad for? The guy that was trying to take Demi Moore out on a date.
He was gross Fred. Too, though.
What? Yeah, but he was kind of nice, though.
Just the way he looked. Like, he had, like, yellow teeth. And, oh, yeah. And, yeah,
well, they were, most of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I felt bad for him. And he got stood up on that date. I thought that was really sad.
Well, I think that's the saddest scene where she wants to go on the date. Yeah. And then every time she's about to step out. And I think this is very much her saying, like, this is what we go through. This is what women go through, where she's about to step out. And there's that fucking billboard of the younger version of her looking at her.
Yeah.
And just makes her like so self-conscious and doubting herself. And then she's like tearing off the makeup. And it's sad.
It's sad because she looked so good when she first got dressed up. I was like, dude, she looks beautiful.
And she was out of that guy's league. Well, we all knew that. I mean, that's the point. But
I thought that part was actually really good, really good. Not just for like, this is what women go through, but like,
what we all go through.
Everybody goes through when they age, is that they're constantly.
Or even when you're young. You know, like if you don't have the perfect body, if you're not what you see on TV and what you see on the billboards being shoved down your throat.
That's true. But also just like, I feel like when you get older, you're constantly comparing yourself to how you looked when you were younger.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I kind of got from it. Like she was looking at like the younger version. Then she saw the billboard. Yep. And then she was like, every time she thought she was pretty and she looked back to the younger version of herself.
Like,
she was comparing herself to that.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's something most people go through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, when I was like 5 years ago, like I didn't have this. It's like, yeah, well, you know, you're 5 years older. Yeah. You're not going to look like that. And then the more like makeup she put on to try and look pretty, the older she looked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just thought that whole scene was like super
interesting. It's a good scene and it's sad. Yeah. It's just very sad. And that billboard made me laugh so hard. Again, why it's a comedy. It's like you have a billboard out there and it says New Year's Eve show tomorrow. Like, why? Nobody would ever put a bill. Do you know how long it takes to put up a billboard? Yeah. And then the next day it says New Year's Eve show tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not in a real universe. You know what I mean? Like, it's because at first I was like, that's ridiculous. And I was like, oh, right. It's a joke. I gotcha.
On that subject, that's something I actually wanted to touch upon, which is the actual universe that this is unfolding in. Mm-hmm. And it was very like anachronistic at times because it felt as though you were in the 80s, but then you would see modern cars and modern technology.
Yeah,
but
like
then
cell
you
phones.
Also, yeah, like a cell phone.
Yeah.
But then you also have like aerobics like classes, which is what she's teaching, which is so
very
80s.
Jane Fonda 80s. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
even the sets and the actual studio and the way the studio execs were dressing.
Yeah.
Everything was so 80s, but then other things weren't. So it was like,
it's heightened reality.
Yeah.
It's the exact thing that we always talk about with sci-fi, especially sci-fi, but there's other genres that do it too, where you are like, you're sort of saying, oh, that takes place there. So it allows us to actually see that you're talking about us, mm-hmm. but we don't have a defense mechanism because it's not, you know, we don't recognize it as us 100%. And so you actually sort of, you can get your point across more. The couple things I want to mention about that. Did you guys know the movie was filmed in France?
Really?
I did.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't until I read the trivia. I was like, really? Oh. Yeah. And studios in France. And then, of course, and then the French Riviera, whenever she'd be like walking, because the French Riviera has palm trees and is warmer. So it kind of has that LA look. And then the other thing I was going to mention, I can't take credit for this. I had to read it in the trivia. Again, things that I missed. You can make fun of me for it. Mm-hmm. But the hallway and the carpeting and the look and the color of it was very much reminiscent of The Shining.
And on that note, there was a lot of Lynch odes throughout the movie. And this is one that I didn't notice. I noticed it while watching the movie because I knew already that this was a thing. But when she first picks up the red phone to call the guy from The Substance and it pulls in very close to her, red lips with the red phone is almost directly taken from The Highway. Lost Highway, sorry, by David Lynch. It's almost identical.
I hate The Lost Highway.
Really?
One of the worst movies. No, not one of the worst, but it was like a bad movie experience. Some guy started smoking like behind me because we were also bored. No, that's not fair to say we were bored. It was very unsettling, but it just felt to have no point why it was being unsettling.
Yeah.
I like just about every theater? David, what do you mean?
He was smoking in a movie theater?
Yeah.
It was back in the days.
No, it was weird to us too.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we just suddenly heard like a flip of the lighter, you know, like a Zippo lighter, and we're like, the fuck? And he's just sitting there with his leg up.
Yeah, that's pretty David Lynch. I feel like he would like
that. Maybe it was him.
Maybe it was, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Rip. Rest in
Rip.
Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we pour one out? Don't pour it out. Expensive equipment here. So here's my question. This was, and I think there's two questions here. You know, like one question comes out of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get it?
Yeah, because
what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one second, guys. Let me find it.
I think you give yourself a clap for that one.
That was pretty good.
Yay.
Yay, validation. were they the same person? Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
Were they trying to do it like let's say if they would have had the budget to do it, would they have wanted to actually have a de-aged Demi Moore come out? Or was it supposed to be like an even more idealized version of yourself coming out?
I think it's a more idealized version of yourself because in the video that they gave to her,
the phone was ringing. Alex pointed at it and Steffi looked at it and threw it on the floor.
Interrupting podcast time. In the video that they gave to her at the beginning, it says, "Do you ever wish you were younger and more beautiful?"
Right.
So I think if it was like a younger version, it would just say, "Do you wish you were younger?"
Yeah.
You know.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah, I would go with that, and I like that better than if it would be just younger. My other question is, and I think the movie does answer it. I don't know if it answers it well enough for me. And again, because it's the heightened reality, I stopped worrying about it. But before I kind of realized what the universe was, I kind of was like, I don't like this. This is annoying me. And what does Demi Moore's, what does Elizabeth get out of it? You know, so she injects herself with it, and then this younger person comes up, but it's not her. I mean, it is her, but she's not experiencing in the moment. It's not like it's the first person. Like, when I read about the movie, I thought that she actually would be kind of connected where she would be seeing and experiencing the things that a younger her does. So what does she get out of it when you know, for 7 days she's out basically in stasis, and then her younger version goes out and has fun, but it's not her. It's not her experiencing it, and she doesn't get the experiences afterwards. And there is an answer where, you know, when she tries to kill her with the termination thing, and then she sort of stops and she's like, no, I can't kill you. You're the best thing about me. You know, it's like, you know, that I guess that sort of answers that. But I guess, and again, like I said, it's not as important as I thought it was, but I'm still kind of curious, like what, you know, or is that a commentary by Caroline Foghat? Is that a commentary?
It's getting funnier. It's getting closer.
It's getting there again. No, Stephanie just keeps doing the same thing. Like, her head goes into her hand and she goes, fuck. She picks up the phone and she's like, you know, podcast time is over.
Yeah.
Is that a commentary to her that we are so desperate to
go,
yeah, or to go back to being young that we will even take a raw deal like this?
I'm not going
to
lie.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as I overanalyze this movie, mm-hmm. which I'm sad that I did because I kind of ruined certain aspects of it for myself, like what I was saying earlier, I think I thought way too much into it. I wish I wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I didn't think into at all. I sort of didn't try to connect the dots as to why she's doing it, like what she gets out of it. But thinking about it now, and it's something that was a scene that kind of flew under the radar for me, but was mm-hmm. actually a very important scene when she goes to pick up the substance one of the times and she realizes she's being followed by the older version of the man.
Oh, right. That
what's it called?
Substance?
Yeah. Yeah. 207 was his number.
By 207. Oh, okay. I don't remember that. Okay.
And he sits down and she sits down across from him and he's basically like, it gets worse every time.
Yeah.
Like you know, it gets worse, and I'm guessing that there is maybe sort of high that they get, like a sort of feeling, even though you're knocked out. Maybe like knowing that I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling here, but
it's interesting.
What I did notice is that when she is in her regular Demi Moore body, mm-hmm. she does nothing with her time because she has nothing else to do. She just sits on a couch and rots away. So maybe it's sort of like, you know what, I'd rather be out during this time and not have to be alive and awake and know that there's something within me that's enjoying life while I'm out. So it's maybe it's like a almost like a self-sabotaging thing where it's like, you know, I don't like myself. I dislike myself. That's why she says, oh, you're the best part about me. Even though she is not her, maybe 100%, that's still the best part of her.
According to the voice on the phone.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I didn't think about it too much. What do you think?
Okay. So
mm-hmm. Oh, she got comfortable. It'll take a while. You turn my microphone down. Go ahead.
So I think the whole point of them not being that connected is that they're two separate parts of themselves, and the movie's trying to make that distinct. You know, is that like there are multiple sides to you, and you need to be able to live with all of the parts of yourself, even though they're so different. Mm-hmm. So like I think it the reason why she deteriorated so quickly is because she hated the part of herself that was old. I think if when she was in her older self, like she went on that date with Fred and she learned how to like have fun and like appreciate the beauty that she did have at mm-hmm. that age, then the younger version of herself wouldn't have resented her so much. Mm-hmm. And they could have lived, you know, and sure. that, and, you know, kept that balance because they wouldn't have had a reason to hate each other, you know. But she was so obsessed with her age, mm-hmm. and she was so obsessed with like the state that she was in that she just completely deteriorated, you know, like she was on her couch, she was eating, she wasn't taking care of herself,
right?
And when you're not taking care of yourself, you deteriorate, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that was like the whole point, that like you need to be able to be responsible and, you know, have fun and take care of yourself and let yourself just kind of like be. Like it was that balance that throughout the whole movie, like it's trying to tell you,
sure.
you need to have to be like a fully developed person,
right? And I agree. I think that is the reading of the movie, mm-hmm. but and I mean, as a good reading of the movie, I think that is what she was trying to say. I just mean more like the starting point, like when she's like nothing else is working, mm-hmm. you know, and she gets a description, you know, and then she's like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I'm sort of like, well, if I were in that situation, I don't think I would do it, just because I'm like, well, that's not me out there having fun. As much as you tell me it's me, I wouldn't be the one experiencing it, and yeah. I wouldn't be the one going out like going, I'm hot, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like that's like I said, it's not as important a question because this is more of a Twilight Zone episode where it's like it just wants to kind of get to make the points, especially mm-hmm. that you're making, and it's sort of, so it's just sort of like, it's okay, there are mm-hmm. these things, but it was just, I was just curious about that, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably relate it to like why people do drugs or, you know, mm-hmm. drink until they forget. you know?
Right.
So it's like, I guess like Alex was kind of right a little bit. Like there is like that high,
yeah,
mm-hmm. like aspect there. Mm-hmm. Like it's good enough to have like the
to
knowledge.
Know that she's out there.
Yeah, yeah, like that she's out there.
That it's part
that,
of
like,
you.
Yeah, like yeah. this happened and like, you know, people do love you. You just don't remember mm-hmm. having experienced it. You know? It's
like so, you're gonna have to actually yeah. deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, like people like will do cocaine and like not remember anything that they did that night, but then their friend will text them and be like, "Oh my god, you were so crazy.
You were so
yeah.
cool.
You were the best person ever." And they're like, "You know what? I was. Like yeah. I bet I was."
And also the on the flip side of it, you could also look at it as sort of she didn't know what she was getting herself into. She didn't know what the feeling was going to be like. So when somebody sells it to you as, oh, you know, you're going to get a better version of yourself, mm. you might think, oh, well, you know, it's going to be me. I'm going to feel what that person is feeling. But yeah. by the time that she figures that out, you know, it's already too late because you're already on the substance and you can't.
I guess if no that if that back, would have been the case, I think it's that's absolutely a fair point. I guess I just would have then appreciated a scene because we're doing too much of the heavy lifting there.
Right.
That there should have been a scene where she would be like, you didn't tell me it was going to be this.
Yeah,
you
know? True.
I mean, did they not feel what they were feeling?
I don't know. I guess that's my question.
I thought that's what the like those dreams kind of were. It was like all of like those like memories and feelings and emotions yeah. like coming back to them.
Right.
And but like hitting them.
That it's not the same as actually experiencing it in real time.
Yeah.
Right? Like to get nightmares out of it, you know? Mm. Because remember also like whenever they would wake up, they would look around and go, what the fuck did you do? You know what I mean? So then they couldn't have experienced it because they wouldn't have known.
True. Maybe it's just desperation, you know, why mm. people do Botox or
I know, and,
you know,
and that's
cosmetic
what I mean.
Surgery.
I think it could be a commentary also that it's just like you're so desperate that there's nothing else that it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I'll take this, you know, terrible bargain. And my other question was, how was the younger version of her such a good carpenter?
I don't know. I don't know. She just yeah.
I think that goes back into the humor again. Yeah, it's yeah, just yeah. like just go along with it, you know.
I actually didn't notice that because I do that too. Like if German's not around uh-huh. and like I want to put something up, like I've carried an entire fridge yeah. like on my own.
Wait, come on, but it's a little different carrying a fridge than yeah. to beautifully making a secret room in your bathroom, with a secret door.
That's yeah. true. I didn't look into that.
Yeah,
I just accepted that. I was like, you know,
I don't mean it as a
this
like
female
it's not
rage
like,
at work. Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not like, oh, what a bad movie because it did that. It just it made me laugh because I was just like, do you need an explanation? Probably not. But I thought it was pretty funny how good she was.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there was no establishment of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's just one of those you have to take on the chin.
Yep.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
There was like a lot of it that I didn't even like. I didn't second guess. I was just like, yeah, that's
no, you were busy looking for eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's cool. She could do that.
She. You're like starting to think about it and you're like, egg.
I was like, how'd she put that door? Oh my god, egg.
It's like a dog when they see a squirrel. Yeah. Squirrel.
You're like the dog from Up. I just found out from a German quiz show that that in mosques that they put like a giant egg. They put giant eggs on top uh-huh. because the smell of it, spiders hate the smell of it. So it keeps spiders and things cleaner up where they can't really go up.
Like real
things.
Eggs?
My German's not that good anymore.
Okay.
It looked like an ostrich egg.
Okay, got it.
So I don't know, because I mean, like for hundreds of years, there's just an egg up there. I don't know.
Who knows?
I feel like that would make nobody want to go near there.
Well, it's very high up, so you wouldn't smell it. Like up there, they would smell it. I'll look into it. And they had actual footage of it. It also reminds me that I thought it was so clever. When we started the show, I was like, ooh, I have this bit of trivia that we want to start with. And I got this bit of trivia from the same German quiz show. They, according to them, they said the word gory. Where it originated from was that, do you guys know the Hammer horror films from the 50s and the 60s?
Kind of.
So it was a production company called Hammer Films, and they made a lot of like Dracula movies with Christopher Lee, mm-hmm. You know, the famous British actor. He was in Star Wars and of course Lord of the Rings. He was Saruman.
Sir Christopher Lee.
R.I.P.
Rip. Yeah.
Who actually did him a heavy metal album also. They were sort of known in its day. They were quite bloody for their time. They were saying that the people who did the effects for the movie, so like they would make the fake blood, they would make the body parts, things like that, that they actually were, the effects house was on Gore Street. And so they were like, oh, gory comes from that. And I was like, I'm gonna blow your guys' minds with that at the beginning of the show. And yeah. then I was like, but let me do some research.
Yeah.
couldn't find anything. They were like, no, Gori has existed for since 900 AD.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these things. And I couldn't. And I even did like a Hammer Films Gori. And they're just like, Hammer Films are Gori. And I was like, I couldn't find anything to back that up. So maybe the egg thing is fake, too. I don't know. The Germans have let me down again.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they're going to be telling you that Al Gore was the one that created Gore. Give me the crickets.
No, you deserve a trombone for that one.
Anyway.
Well, maybe also a...
Yeah.
Okay.
You stick to it. You came up halfway through.
Yeah, because nobody's
eyes... It was the right thing to do.
Nobody's eyes lit up. Everybody just kind of stared at me. There's no confidence
behind it.
I didn't get it. I suddenly thought you were going to a conspiracy theory. No. Like, I'm watching these speeches now, and this one girl started talking about conspiracy theories towards the end of it, and I was like, well, you lost me, you know? Like, no, we're not going to bring up conspiracy theories. So, yeah, don't you know? Al Gore made that's where the word Gore comes from.
Next episode, you need to do it in a German accent.
The whole episode I will do.
Yeah.
When we, like, I don't know, what are we going to review? When we talk about Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark or something?
I don't think we'll do that one.
All right, well, you know, where's the elevator music?
The purple.
The purple, oh, thank you. This is the most effects we've ever used.
Yeah. It's fitting.
I did want to bring something up about the male actors in the movie.
There are male actors in the movie? Yes. I didn't realize.
Oh my gosh. There were a couple.
Dennis Quaid. And then, like, her boyfriend for, like, a minute.
Yes.
With a gratuitous butt shot.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With a gratuitous hairy butt shot.
I think we need the hairy butt.
I love that when she does these things. And I'm just like, yeah, because they do it to women all the time. So
I watched it with Drew the second time, and it popped up. And he goes, hello.
Hello.
It was, like, the most, like... round obnoxiously butt I've ever seen in my life.
It was not
and
a pretty
like,
butt.
And then like he ran and it was like
you just see butt.
Like, zoomed. Yeah. But like the amount of like work he had to have put in to get that butt is insane. Yeah. I've never seen that before in my life.
Mm-hmm. Shout out butt guy.
Yeah.
But then shave it. Then shave your butt.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
I'm not dying on this hill. Totally fine.
On Butt Hill. The Battle of Butt Hill.
Not while I have water in my mouth, please.
Oh my God.
Is that what you wanted to bring up? The butt?
No, oh, okay.
Paul just sidetracked.
It was a good sidetrack, though.
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I was going to bring up that, like, all of, like, the main male characters that got, like, you know, like, a full, like zoomed in on their face.
Like
they were all, like, a different, like, stereotypical male archetype.
Hmm.
Like what?
So, like, Fred was, like, the nice, you know, kind of, like, sweet, like, submissive kind of, like, guy.
Simp.
Yeah, simp. Mm. And then the neighbor... was like the, oh, I'm such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. He was absolutely,
That guy was terrible.
I hated that guy.
He was like 100% like, oh, like, you could trust me. Like, I'm a nice guy.
After, like, he first comes in, he's like, what the fuck are you doing in there? Yeah. Like, yelling at him. Like, he's a nice guy.
And then obviously, you know, like the, oh my gosh, the Harvey, he was like the I don't know, like the sexist, you know.
Yeah,
like,
Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, I mean, he was the Hollywood exec, the disgusting Hollywood exec.
So it was all like the different male archetypes, you know, in regards to, like, how they treat women.
Yeah.
You know?
And none of them treated them well.
No. Yeah, no, not a single
Nobody one. Treats anybody well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one. Yeah. Like, I didn't catch
it stood out to me because, you know, I have to deal with that my whole life.
Right.
You know,
like,
knowing how men treat me.
We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You can't relate.
You guys can go relate on runs at night and stuff.
Yeah.
You
know? No, it's true.
By yourself.
It's
true.
Yeah.
Guys, I've had to burp the whole episode. Do you mind if I burp
the microphone? Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't think you were doing it to the mic.
It's been sitting there the whole episode, and I'm like, you know what?
Let's I didn't just know you were going to do it into the mic. Oh, whatever. You know
if
what?
You're gonna, if you're going to do it, do it.
If you're going to do it, do it.
If you're not going to do it, don't do it.
I'm going to bass boost your burp when I edit this episode.
Please do. Yeah. Please do not edit that out.
No, I'm going to keep it in.
So good.
Speaking of the butt, of the man butt. I'm sorry, I just had to circle back.
And the best segue Oscar goes to.
Nobody walked into my room while I was watching the movie at any time during the nudity, except when somebody came into my room while we got the shot of his butt. So nobody ever came into my...
That's called Murphy's Law.
Yeah. They always come into my room whenever I'm watching weird things, and then my family must think I'm a weird, sick pervert.
Was it a parent?
Yeah, it was. I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was my mom, my dad, or my sister. It was somebody came into my room, and I kind of
was it your monstro parents? They kind of maybe went, yeah. Yeah. They're like two of them put together.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but yeah,
it's like the worst. It wasn't even like all of like the full frontal nudity shots of the women. It was like the one time
boobs being covered in blood at the end. Yeah, and then, the butt shots with blood.
Like
at
the one
end,
like dude's butt. In the movie.
I think my parents would have been less concerned if it was a naked woman on my TV than if it was a man, but
that sounds like Cuban parents.
I just had to circle back to the butt.
Shout out to Butt Guy.
Yeah, but we weren't done with Butt Guy.
Oh, we're not.
No. I'm saying that was me summing that up.
Yeah,
oh, we were okay. Not. Oh no, I'm done. Oh. It was a hairy butt, and I laughed because I was just like, that was so unnecessary. I was like, good for you, Carolyn Foghat. Call her Carolyn. It's Cavalli.
Yeah, you've just been butchering it the whole time.
It's Coralie. Excuse me. It's not. It's like Coraline. Coralie.
Coralie.
Sorry.
Blood, Butts, and Guts. That's my headline for the movie.
Yeah.
I like that.
Blood, Butts, and Guts.
I can get behind that.
Get it?
it took me a while. I was still trying to I was still trying to analyze your joke. Because I would prefer alliteration, but since you had a rhyming scheme at the end, Butts and Guts.
Blood, Butts, and...
Band name? Butts and Guts?
Butts and Guts. that's the Simon and Garfunkel of our day.
It's the heavy metal version of Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Butts and Guts.
All right. Well, I need to go stabilize. I'm getting a headache, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you better stabilize.
Yeah. I won't be here
is old week, Alex... It explains everything.
Yeah.
It explains everything.
Yeah.
Because this is why you know all these things that someone of 19 should not know.
Right.
About pop culture, especially things like that. You're actually, what do they call him? Did they have a name for him?
No, just numbers. No.
It's just other self.
You are an other self.
Yeah.
Of old Alex.
Yeah, so I won't be here next week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks.
That actually makes a lot of sense when you wake up to, the stock market on TV, go to bed at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Say again?
I was saying one day how on occasion when I wake up, I like to put on Bloomberg News and see, and then,
Yep.
And I like to try to be in bed by 9:30.
On occasion means every other week.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, any final thoughts on The Substance?
Watch it.
Alejandro, have you changed your mind about the movie? Does it go up to 3 now? 3 Pauls?
Well, I gave it 3 out of 5
you
on
started
Letterboxd.
With, oh.
I gave it 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and I didn't know what the Paul... equivalent.
It's very simple. That's why I use it. So 1 is terrible.
Okay.
1.5 is like, well, it has maybe one redeeming feature.
Okay.
2 is, it's okay.
Okay.
2.5 is like, it's a little better than okay, but not quite good.
Okay.
3 is good. 3.5 is very good. 4 is amazing.
Okay. I give it 3 Pauls.
Okay.
Good movie. Great. Yeah. Good movie.
Yeah.
Final thought though, it is probably one of the least Oscar movies that I've seen nominated for an Oscar. In very long, as far as themes go, it is very like Oscar, like it hits hits the points that the Academy is looking for. But the vessel in which it chooses to deliver that message is very far from what the Oscars typically have.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Do I have a final thought? I do not. Why is this messing up here? Hold on. There we go. Hold on. My final thought actually is, hold on. Let me think about it. Oh yeah.
It was funny that time, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And we're going to take us out with, I like this New Order song. From the same album, Substance, I agree with Stephanie. See it. It's really good. It's worth it.
We need to do our tradition.
Oh, yes. I can't believe it. leave. I forgot our tradition. Yeah. Okay. Wait, I got to get in the character. That's going to be interesting what you're going to say. Should we just do it in round robin?
Or? Yeah, we can do round robin.
Okay. Stephanie, what do you say?
Watch this.
There you go. Thank you. I say, watch this. Alex?
Watch this.
Well, that was terrible. We need some music. No, we need some music. Well, no.
I was thinking of doing like the voice on the phone, but I can't do it.
Oh my gosh, that guy was so funny.
Yeah.
I like the voice on the phone.
The customer service guy.
Yeah.
My gosh. He must love his job.
Oh yeah. I would love it too.
My favorite line is, then end it.
Yeah.
Then do it.
That's a good way to end this podcast.
Yeah.
Then end it. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, what song is this?